This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن الحكيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Praise be to Allah. He is worthy of all praise. We seek His guidance and His help. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our bad deeds and the bad and evil that's inside us. One who is guided by Allah, they are truly guided. One who is left to go astray will not find a guide or a protector after that. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, glory be to Him, and He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and prayers of Allah be upon him, is His slave and messenger. We begin, as Allah has ordained for us, saying, surely the Allah and His angels send salah on the Prophet, or you who believe. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Send salah and salam on the Messenger of Allah, as we do. Continuing from last time, which was 2 weeks ago now, yes? We left at the stage in the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just after the occurrence on the Mount of Safa. You remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partially climbed it, as was tradition and culture at that time, and calling out Ya Sabaha, or the call they used to call for something in the emergency, for people and tribes to gather as they did. And if you remember, I don't want to repeat it again, that was a time when Abu Lahab was making negative comments and saying, is that what you called us, wasting our time for? May you perish, or may your day be that of, may you perish in the day. And this was the nature of Abu Lahab. It seems Abu Lahab, this was at Safa, but of course the message, this wasn't the first message and declaration. The Prophet had been sharing the message over a period of time. And I mentioned to you in Sirat, mentions 3 years of Sirri Da'wah, which is in secret. Nothing, as I said last time, authentic about that, but for sure, the Da'wah at this stage was going on. So it seems Abu Lahab already knew about this. It wasn't the first thing he came across to show so much hatred immediately. You know, first time he's hearing from his nephew, he's saying, perish you. So that comment, and the fact that the Quran is revealed with Surah Lahab at that time indicates that it's not the first instance of Abu Lahab. Makes sense, doesn't it? Not the first instance of Abu Lahab and Jamil, his wife, being given the tidings of hellfire. Because she's not even mentioned in this story at Mount Safa, is she? But she's mentioned in the Surah. So if the revelation of Surah Lahab is this time, which it is the most authentic, then it seems during that message being delivered over a few years, and this instance incident of Mount Safa seems to be a few years on after the Prophet ﷺ is sharing the message of Islam. Yes? A more open declaration, as we said, from the Quran, وَأَنذِرْ أَشِيرَتَكَ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn the family and the tribes. Well, the family and tribes to an extent was going on, so there's nothing absolute fixing that ayah to 3 years after. Neither is there anything absolute about فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Yeah. Like declare, announce what you've been ordered to do. Yeah. So nothing again fixing that to 3 years on, but it fits in general with the idea as the message gathers pace, the Prophet has been encouraged to open up. Yeah. وَعَرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That ayah also indicates فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Yeah, and then turn away from the mushrikeen means don't take them on. So it also shows you that that ayah is more likely to be when the Prophet is declaring and he's getting opposition. He's getting opposition. So the Prophet has been encouraged not to take them on. Yeah, not to get involved in wrangles, as it were. Yeah, and also to keep the cool, that's the idea. Yeah. Of course, it doesn't mean turn away, as I said last time, from the mushrikeen, not to have anything to do with them. Because there'll be no da'wah taking place, because mushrikeen are surrounding him left, right and centre. Yeah. So you notice a word there, talking about turning away, has to be understood in context, or what it's actually saying. Yeah. The word itself has an apparent meaning, but actually the real meaning is not what's apparent, is it? وَعَدِدَ نِي الْمُشْرِكِينَ is not the apparent meaning, but the real meaning is not to get involved in this wrangling and things. And in that sense, of course, it's saying that. So, about Surah Al-Lahab being revealed indicates to us that the Prophet ﷺ has been doing already. And we know that the people who embraced Islam, that I'm going to mention, wasn't 3 years on, it's immediately. Immediately after the Fatra, certainly, when the Prophet found his own footing, after the pause, yes, of from the first revelation to the second revelation, which I mentioned to you before as well. So then the Prophet, with the family and others, and wider, wasn't just the family, because the first converts to Islam aren't just family, it is family and others as well. So coming back to Surah Al-Lahab, when it's revealed at that instance, it indicates that there's also already a background with Abu Lahab and Jamil. Yeah? It indicates that they've already been nasty towards the message and towards the Rasul of Allah. That's what's in the background. And Abu Lahab saying, perish you on that day, is in line with what he's been obviously doing already, and his wife. Because the surah, when it's revealed, mentions him and his wife. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. May the hands of Abu Lahab perish, may he perish. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. His wealth, and he was the wealthiest. Yeah, Abbas was wealthy, so was Abu Lahab as well. Abu Lahab was, it seems, more senior, yeah, and arrogant like the other Quraysh leaders about wealth and children. Ma aghna anhu maluhu, his wealth will not benefit him in any way. Wa ma kasab. Mufassirun say kasab. Kasab normally means your work, but here Mufassirun say kasab means his children. His children, because they used to, of course, brag about wealth and children. So his children and his wealth will not benefit him in any way. Some reports say, and this one, I don't know how authentic it is, but this is mentioned in relation to Surah Al-Lahab rather than in Seerah, that when Surah Al-Lahab was revealed and he was given news, that he was going to go to hellfire, yeah, or doesn't seem to fit with that either, but more likely that the revelation is indicating that those who reject and disbelieve will go to hellfire, that Abu Lahab said that, oh, even if he's true what he's saying, on the day of judgment, I'll get out of it, I'll just use my wealth and children with God and get away with it. And so that report mentions, that's why Allah says, مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. He will burn in the fire of flames. Burn in the fire of flames. Very direct and clear. وَامْرَأَتُهُ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبَ. And his wife will be the carrier of the wood. What wood is this? This is a wood. Is, of course, we don't perceive and see what hellfire is going to be like or whether it needs wood or not. But this wood is linked with the fire that he's going to be burning in. Yeah? So she'll be like stoking the fire, even though it's his wife. She'll be adding wood to the fire. That's what the Quran is saying.
And she'll be there.
Of course it does, yeah. She'll be there as well. She won't be adding the wood from paradise, that's for sure. And of course, adding wood to the fire is what we're shown. We don't know what hellfire is going to be like, yeah. Hellfire doesn't necessarily need the wood of Jameel to make it be stoked up and flaming. But it's showing you that's part of a point. Even though they are together, husband and wife, against Rasulullah, she's actually part of the punishment, is adding wood to the fire, as it were. وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّلَتَ الْحَطَابَ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. Around her neck will be a rope, a noose, made of masad, they say, is of palm fiber. Yeah, intertwined kind of rope. Again, indicating something of the punishment of the hereafter for her, because that's something that's not for, certainly for not this world. So, that's the revelation of Surah Lahab. And you can see that in the story, when it's showing it's been revealed, Jameel's not even mentioned in the story. It was Abu Lahab that was mentioned. So it shows you that she was involved for already years since the Prophet started preaching in being nasty. And we have only the odd instance which is mentioned about her nastiness. About her nastiness. For example, I mean, and in things which are not authentic reports, we can only imagine, but they're not authentic reports, so we can't rely. About her throwing thorns and rubbish in the way of Rasulullah. So we have nothing authentic about that, although it's mentioned and it's possible. Yeah. Well, we have a report which is mentioned in authentic hadith that when she heard about, the hadith says, about Surah Lahab being revealed and her punishment and Abu Lahab's punishment, she got a piece of rock and came, she found out that the Prophet ﷺ was at the Haram. So she came to attack him with the piece of rock, saying that, oh, he's been abusive to our forefathers, and he's brought a message that we scorn, and that he's teaching everyone to disobey what we have from our ancestors. Yeah, it's coming with that. She was making a poetry like this, coming to the Haram, and she saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet was sitting with Abu Bakr. So she came saying this with the rock, and she couldn't see the Messenger of Allah. She couldn't see. Rasulullah was hidden from her. This is mentioned in authentic hadith, actually. He was hidden from her sight. And she only saw Abu Bakr, even though Prophet was sitting next to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr said to the Messenger of Allah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, Jameel's coming, and I think she means to harm you. The Prophet said, don't worry, she's not going to see me on this occasion, subhanAllah. Allah protected him. And when she came, she saw Abu Bakr, she said, Abu Bakr, does your companion, does he also go around reviling and making nasty comments about me? He said, no, he doesn't, actually. No, he doesn't. So she just went away, muttering things, But this was one of the occasions of nastiness and hatred for Rasulullah. But there, you can imagine in the background, when the Prophet, when Allah's revealed a surah like that, there's many occasions, both husband and wife, even though they were the aunt and uncle of Rasulullah, because Abu Lahab is his direct blood uncle. He's the brother of his father and of Abu Talib and of Abbas. Yeah, none of them have embraced Islam. And it's said that Jamil was the sister of Abu Sufyan, which is interesting, just for information. Abu Sufyan from the Abdul Shams, from the Umayyads. Ibn Kathir mentions that. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, when he begins to give the message, we already mentioned that Khadija radiallahu anha was the first one to embrace Islam. Yes, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija, and the Prophet ﷺ used to mention that even after her death for years to come about what she was like, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And besides that, the early converts to Islam were his household. Ali ibn Abi Talib was his cousin, but it seems was brought up in the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Abu Talib was poor. So Ali was already in the household, and in fact, Ja'far was brought up in the household in a similar fashion of Abbas, the brother of Abu Talib. So Ali ibn Hajar says what's most authentic, that Ali embraced Islam when he was 10 years of age. When he was around 10 years of age. Zayd ibn Haritha, who was the adopted son of Rasulullah, originally, years back, he was a slave in the household of Rasulullah. Yeah, but the Prophet freed him and adopted him as his son. So they embraced Islam in the household of Rasulullah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is one of the first converts of Islam. And of course, he was one of the best friends of Rasulullah even before Islam. And when he heard about it, he accepted the truth of the Messenger of Allah and accepted Islam. And others who were early converts were the likes of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan, who one of the Khulafa Rashid, who married two of the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. Uthman ibn Affan was one of the earliest converts of Rasulullah. But there's a story in Seerah about majority of these early converts, except for the family, embracing Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There's nothing authentic I found in this story at all. Yeah? There's nothing authentic that it was specifically Abu Bakr, but what's more obvious is that they heard the message from Rasulullah. So aside from Uthman ibn Affan, we have the likes of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, one of the early converts, one of the great companions of Rasulullah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Talha, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, of course, is the one from the same tribe as Khadija radiallahu anha, yeah. The Banu Asad. So Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, who was eventually, he was married to Asma bint Abi Bakr. Zubayr was married to her, and their illustrious and most famous son, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, one of the great companions of the Prophet. So Zubayr ibn al-Awwam is one of the early converts of the early part. And aside from that, I mentioned already Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a famous army general in later years, but a great and strong companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his is a story when he embraced Islam, that his mother went on hunger strike. This is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, saying to him that you're taught to obey your parents, but I'm telling you to denounce Muhammad and denounce this message So from now on, I'm not going to talk and I'm not going to eat and drink. And this lasted for weeks, this hunger strike. Yeah? And where she became faint and fell often, and they used to by force, the family used to by force open her mouth and put liquid and food down her to stop her from perishing from this. She was so insistent on this. Some mentioned that the ayat in which mentions وَوَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ and Allah saying that we have ordained human beings regarding their parents, when it mentions about being good to their parents. But in Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in those ayat, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And if both of them strive to make you associate with me, do shirk with me, that which you have no knowledge, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But treat them well and in a good manner in this world. So some say these ayahs were revealed at this time in regards to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. There's nothing absolute about that. However, we can say that these ayahs are certainly put into practice by the likes of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, because he refused to give in. And some reports mention, although I didn't see anything authentic about him saying to his mother, "Oh mother, were you to perish with this hunger strike and be raised up and perish again and raised up and perish again, I will not leave this deen." The fact is he never left his deen, never swerved anyway. Whether this part of the story is true, the fact that he stood his ground is the reality. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is linked with this story of what his mother did to try and make him swerve from the truth. Salah is in the other hall, so we can't seem to hear even the Adhan here, so I'm going to break there, because Salah is at 8 o'clock in case people need to make wudu. And then immediately after Salatul Asr, we'll come and resume, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. So the early converts, some of the name I've mentioned, as I said, Talha, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, all these people will be mentioned more in as the story develops and how important they are as amazing people. Aisha radhiyallahu anha reported that when she realized, became aware as a child, she always knew that all her household were believers. She'd never known that there was disbelief. So when we're talking about Abu Bakr embracing Islam, we're talking about Umruman and Asma and all the household basically became Muslim. With Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Also we have Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr and Nawfal, ibn Nawfal. Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr is one of the characters I mentioned who was from the Ahnaf, if you remember going back a few lessons ago. Yeah, before even Nubuwa to the Prophet came, Zayd ibn Amr is one of the ones who refused to eat meat on which other God's name has been mentioned with the Prophet. They were both there before prophethood came. Yes, but he died before this. But his influence is on Sa'id ibn Zayd, his son. Sa'id ibn Zayd is one of the very early converts, and he was married to Fatima bint al-Khattab, the sister of Umar bin Khattab. So that's Sa'id, right? Married to the sister of Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, ajma'in. So Sa'id ibn Zayd is one of the early converts as well, together with the other names I mentioned. Majority of these names I've mentioned to you are amongst the names of the Ashra al-Mubashireen bil Jannah, the 10 who were given the good news of Jannah in one statement of Rasulullah. When we say the 10 who were given good news of paradise, Of course, many more companions were given good news of paradise. But why 10? Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in one statement, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah. Yes, and he carries on. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas fil Jannah, Zubayr ibn Awam fil Jannah, Sayyid ibn Zayd fil Jannah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf fil Jannah, yeah? Talha ibn Ubaidillah fil Jannah. So these are the 10. And all of these, except for Umar, yeah, who embraced Islam later, they're all early converts of Islam. Very significant people in that sense, the very backbone of the da'wah, and the ones who were the great supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are all from the clans of Banu Hashim and the Quraysh. Yeah. So, it's not that it was just people who were slaves and from low tribes or with, you know, mediocre connection. I mentioned this to you before. But there were those people as well, because Islam didn't come for just nobility, did it? So there were those people amongst them as well, amongst the earlier ones that were Ammar ibn Yasir and Sumayya, the father and mother of Ammar, yeah, the famous family. And that family, seems that Ammar was of a lowly tribe, and Sumayya was a freed slave married to him. So Ammar came from that kind of family, on the fringes, as it were. So they were amongst the early converts. We also have Uthman ibn Maz'un. Uthman ibn Maz'un is a great companion of Rasulullah. He was Zahid. He was very much inclined towards asceticism, of wanting nothing to do with the world after he embraced Islam. Yeah, he was that way inclined. In fact, he's one of the companions who came to Rasulullah asking Rasulullah, can I castrate myself? Because I didn't want to marry one, because he was that way inclined. So Prophet forbade him, obviously, from doing that and brought him to the middle. Yeah, and said, this is not right. But he was still inclined, and there was difference. There were rich companions, there were those who were poor companions and liked to remain poor and not have much to do with the world. Yeah. You had them, and Uthman ibn Maz'un was one of them. The story in Sidat Uthman ibn Maz'un, which mentions that the Prophet used to do da'wah on me regularly, and I wasn't really interested, but he was so nice to me, and because of his nice character, I couldn't really refuse listening to him. So I used to listen to him, but iman didn't enter my heart until the Quran revelation revealed from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ, Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha anil fahshai wal munkar wal baghi la'allakum tadhakkarun. Ya'idukum, not ma ya'idukum, la'allakum tadhakkarun. This is the ayah we have. In tradition, started reading in the end of the Jummah khutbah. There's nothing come fixed from Rasulullah. This is meant to be read at every Jummah khutbah. And people listening must think, oh yeah, this is exactly how. It's just been added by people who think it's nice to read this. Okay, but it is. It's an amazing statement. Very powerful. Very comprehensive. Surely Allah has ordered inna ya'muru bil adl, ordered justice. Wal ihsan. Doing good better to others than they do to you, ihsan. Going out of your way to do good to others. Inna la ya'mal bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba, and to give of support and help to the near ones, to the relatives. So this is keeping the rahim, as it were, the blood ties. Wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar wal baghi, and has forbidden ludity and rudeness. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, and all kinds of wrong. وَالْبَغْيِ, and bagh here is again going against the message and going against established authority. Being renegade. وَالْبَغْيِ. Now this story, Uthman ibn Maz'un says that when I heard this marvelous ayah, Iman entered my heart and I became a believer. I'm afraid this is not authentic. The ayah is authentic, but the story linked with him is not authentic. Okay? What we know, he was one of the early converts of Islam, and what I've told you already. Now, some of the other early converts of Islam is the likes of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was a young man. This is mentioned in authentic hadith, this story. Marvelous story. And again, one of the miracles of Rasulullah. There was miracles along the way. His big miracle is the Quran, no doubt, but there were miracles along the way. I mentioned one before to you, mentioned an authentic hadith, where Jameel, the curse of Allah was on her, didn't see him when she came with a rock and a stone. A miracle is subhanAllah, seeing angel Jibreel itself is a great miracle in his original form. What miracle do you want? He saw him in his original form, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we're not surprised with that. He's a messenger of Allah. Here we have another miracle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in authentic hadith that Abu Bakr and the messenger of Allah, they were out on their travels doing da'wah, and they came across this young man who was herding sheep and goat. It was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And they were the sheep and goat of somebody called Uqba ibn Mu'ayt. Uqba ibn Mu'ayt, you'll hear him mentioned again and again, one of the leading mushrikeen who hated Rasulullah and caused much harm to Rasulullah. And therefore died a terrible death. In Badr, he's one of the ones. So he was, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the owner of the goat and sheep was Uqba ibn Mu'ayt. So the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr came and said to because they were out, it seemed Abdullah ibn Mas'ud sent escaping from some group of mushrikeen, and they were thirsty, so they said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, can we have a drink of milk from your animals? Abdullah Mas'ud said, he said, no, I can't give you to drink from them. They're an amana to me. I'm looking after them on behalf of somebody else, so I can't give you a drink from them. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, have you got a female goat that's still virgin? Yeah. That's not given any child and therefore it hasn't got any milk in its udder. That's what it means. He said, yes. So he said, bring it to me. So the Prophet ﷺ touched the udders of this goat. And Abdullah Mas'ud is saying, the others became full with milk. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought a rock carved out, like in a hollow. And then they took the milk from the others and they drank from the milk. And then the Prophet said to the others, shrink. And they shrank back to where they were. So that was a miraculous delivery of milk, and not a milk that belonged to Uqba ibn Mu'ayt. Because that animal wasn't given milk anyway. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was watching this. And then he says, I go a short while after that, I went to the Messenger of Allah and said, can you recite something to me of the message you brought? So the Prophet recited Quran. He said, and I heard from the Messenger of Allah. And now he's mentioning about his life, you know, later, 70 surahs from his own blessed mouth directly to me, and I learned them. Abdullah Mas'ud, of course, is one of the great reciters of the Quran from the Sahaba. Yeah, who the Prophet ﷺ used to say, if anybody wants to hear the Quran as it was revealed and recited from Jibreel to me, listen to the recital of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he said marvelous things about other reciters and scribes as well, but Abdullah Mas'ud is his great position. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud listened to it and he embraced Islam as a young man. So these are, again, mentioning some of the early converts. It seems that the message initially, as it spreads, is met with resistance, not in the form of persecution initially. Because naturally, initially it's met with, what's this nonsense? Yeah, so it's met with what's this nonsense and challenging and also making mockery from the mushriks. Yeah, making mockery. Their mockery continues name calling and mockery continues even when they started physically persecuting many of the Sahaba and the Messenger of Allah. But initially it's a resistance. Oh, they don't want to listen, closing their ears, mad person, and yet the insults start with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even at that time. And so much so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in authentic hadith in Bukhari, mentioned in Bukhari, is beautiful. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, because the mushrikeen used to insult him, he says, أَلَا تُعْجِبُونَ كَيْفَ يَصْرِفُ اللَّهُ عَنِّي شَتْمَ قُرَيْشُ وَلَعْنَهُمْ. He said, isn't it amazing? Do you not find it amazing, he's saying to the Sahaba, how Allah has protected me from the insults and the cursing of the Quraysh. How? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَسْتِمُونَ مُضَمَّمًا وَيَلْعَنُونَ مُضَمَّمًا وَأَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ. أَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ. He says, because they used to call him Muzammam. Muzammam instead of Muhammad. So they used to throw their insults and say with the swearing and insults, oh yeah, that nasty Muzammam, that the swearing Muzammam. So the Prophet is saying, look, they're swearing, cursing at Muzammam, and I'm Muhammad. Look how Allah's protected me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It reminds you of the English statement, isn't it? Sticks and stones don't break my bones, and sticks and stones break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yeah. So the Prophet's beautiful response to their Muzammam, of course, means blameworthy. Yeah, blameworthy. And Muhammad, because it's opposite. Muhammad, praiseworthy. Muzammam, blameworthy. Yeah. So that's why they try to concoct a name, and they were insulting this name. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what he said. So some of the reasons you will see with the we can perhaps look at as to those who embraced Islam. You can, from what I've said to you before, the background of some of them is linked with Ahnaf, for example. Sa'id ibn Zayd, for example. I forgot to mention Suhaib al-Rumi, who I mentioned before, one of the early converts. Suhaib al-Rumi, I said to you before as well, was originally actually Persian. He was captured by the Byzantine Romans and made a slave. That slave was sold to Abdullah ibn Jud'an. Abdullah ibn Jud'an is famous as like being the Ahnaf. He was teetotal. He wasn't into shirk. Yes? And it was in the house of Abdullah ibn Jud'an that what took place? What famous instance takes place in the house of Abdullah ibn Jud'an before Nubuwa? Hilful Fudul or Hilful Mutibin, as I called it. Yeah? The pact of chivalry that they made, that anybody who's wronged in Mecca, this pact of people will stand for the rights. Yeah? And it's also to stand against wars which were fought on unjust basis, because they'd gone through Harb al-Fijar, I mentioned to you. Yeah, so this pact was about standing for justice. Remember the Prophet ﷺ said, were I to be called to this pact, even after Islam, I would go to it. Yeah, even though it was times before his Nubuwwah. So it was with Mushrikeen, and Abdullah ibn Jud'an was from the teetotal and from the Ahnaf. And so therefore, Suhaib al-Rumi, when he's a slave in the house of Abdullah ibn Jud'an, who freed him as well, and he stayed in the household of Ibn Abdullah ibn Jud'an, you can see he's already influenced by that background as well. So to embrace Islam becomes easy. Yeah? And of course, sincere people, and truthful people, and honest people, who were well known for that, like Abu Bakr Siddiq was well known for that. And people who were full of humility. And of course, poor people and slaves. Yeah? Because it's not that it always does, but richness and status often blinds people to the truth, does it not? Yes. And that's why they say that many of the followers of all Anbiya were people who were lowly, people who were poor. Yeah? People who were poor, even though we have rich people who were Sahaba with the Prophet. But generally, richness and status blinded them. blinded them and made them arrogant. Arrogant, which is the case with many of the mushrikeen. And as we see, that's why, because of the arrogance, we find that, we find, as it says in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. They say, the mushrikun leadership, one with their pride and glory and wealth, you know, who's this whippersnapper who's poor anyway, you know, and he's an orphan. How come Allah chose him? They say, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذِي. Why was the Quran not revealed and sent down to one of the men from the two great cities? Who are they referring to? Mecca, the cities, Mecca and Ta'if. They saw them as the two great towns. And the people they were referring to were Walid ibn Mughira, yeah, who was in Mecca. Walid ibn Mughira is from the Makhzum tribe, the same tribe as Abu Jahl. The same tribe as Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, in fact, is, I think, his nephew, is related to him. Both of them have a very high position because this is the Makhzum tribe. Makhzum tribe is a very strong tribe. It becomes very strong, the Makhzumi tribe, after the death of Harb ibn Umayyah. Harb ibn Umayyah was the general and the commander in the battle of Fijar, which I mentioned to you, when the Prophet ﷺ was a young man. But Harb died before Nubuwwah of Rasulullah ﷺ. So the person who took charge was his son for that tribe, who was Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harb. But Abu Sufyan wasn't a sort of charismatic and great leader. Yeah. Whereas you had Walid ibn Mughira and Abu Jahl in the Makhzum tribe. So the Umayyad tribe and the Makhzum tribe include the Hashmi tribes of Rasulullah, so there's always a battle sort of going on between them as to who's high in authority. But Makhzum tribe, because of Walid ibn Mughira, really the unofficial king of Mecca was Walid ibn Mughira, actually. And the likes of Abu Jahl, they were much more in strong position, together with Abu Sufyan and others. Yeah. Abu Sufyan, Utbah ibn Abi Utbah, Ibn Abi Rabah, yeah, Utbah, the father of Hind, the father-in-law of Abu Sufyan. Is that right? Yeah. So these are amongst the leaders. So they're saying in this ayah that's mentioning Rajul Qaryatayn Azim, the two they meant from Mecca. Why the revelation, the Quran, didn't come down to Walid? Mighty Walid. Yeah. Because they're going on along their own jahli ideas of what might and nobility is. Yeah, they've decided themselves, like Shaitan decided for himself. Yeah, ana khayrun minhu khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. Yeah, he decided for himself, didn't he? That I am better than it or him, human being. You created me from fire. Oh, I must be great. And you created him from just muck, soil and clay. Well, Allah didn't decide that. His arrogance makes you decide that. The same arrogance, lots of children, vast wealth, leadership, you know. Why I ain't got the Quran? Or why didn't it go to Taif, to Abu Mas'ud al-Thaqafi? That's who they're referring to. Again, wealth and children abundance. And authority in Taif as a great noble, because he had wealth and children. Nobility was decided like that. So you see the poorness and sincerity led many of those to come to Islam. And as those who have decided nobility and higher might for themselves, what do they used to say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 6, verse 53, وَكَذَٰلِكَ فَتَنَّا بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. And thus we tested and tried some with others. Yeah. like believers with disbelievers, testing and trying them to see whether they believe. لِيَقُولُ So they said, now the mushrikeen leadership, they're saying, أَهَؤُلَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا Are these the ones that Allah has favored? You see how they're saying it? That's exactly how the Quran is putting it. This is from the mouth of those mushrikeen, nobility so-called. Are these the ones, meaning are these wretched slaves and poor people like Bilal and Khabab ibn al-Arat and Ammar and little Abdullah ibn Masood running around and Ali running around? Are these the ones that Allah has chosen? How can it be? So see, pride, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning their attitude in the Quran. Yeah. So that was Surah 6 verse 53, min bainina. Also, their attitude continued. As I said, initially it was challenging and trying to make fun and name calling. وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونٌ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونٌ Surah 15 verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they say, O you upon whom the reminder and the message has been sent, for surely you are definitely a madman. You've been bewitched. You are bewitched. Yeah. There is a witch and there is bewitched. When they said mad, they mean he's been bewitched. Yes? In this case, they're saying that. وَعَجِبُوا أَن جَاءَهُمْ مُنذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ Now this witch, before he's bewitched, now he becomes the witch who's bewitching. You understand? They can't settle, you see, on one. This is evidence of lies. Because they can't find anything to hold on to, so they hold on to anything and it's contradictory. So either he's bewitched or he's a witch. Because if he's a witch, he can't be bewitched. He's a magician. They say, وَعَجِبُوا They marvel and they find it so weird that a warner has come from amongst them. So the kafirun, the disbeliever, the rejecters, they say, surely this is a witch who's a liar. A magician, a witch who's a liar. And many ayats came like that, describing that this is the attitude that you were seeing as they were challenging, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending Qurans down, questioning idol worship, questioning their following their elders, even though they were jahil, ignorant. Yeah? Qurans questioning that. How do you follow? Following old wives' tales? Asatir al-Awwaleen, tales of old. So they tried to switch that and say that he's coming with old wives' tales. Yeah. So this is a rebuttal going on to and fro, and a mocking going on of those kind of people. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Mutaffifin, what does he say? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ Surely the criminals, disbelievers, rejectors, how were they behaving? كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا That when they used to be with the believers, مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they used to laugh. كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ They used to laugh at the believers, meaning make mockery of them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ When they used to go past them, they used to wink at each other. Look at these guys here. You can imagine it, because people do it nowadays as well. Actually, I've seen it, that even Muslims do it, non-practicing Muslim to practicing Muslims. You know, reality is, brothers and sisters, is it not true that we have so many atheists in the Muslim world? We just fool ourselves thinking of Muslim world. There are so many ardent atheists who hate religion. Say, why do you keep mentioning God? I remember being here at a gathering and a counselor from Pakistan turned up. Everybody's, respecting. I don't know. council. I mean, so what? I mean, sure, it's disrespect to him, but the guy who'd invited me asked to say something about God. And I heard him say, why is it that even when we have dinner, why is God, God, God in everything? I was so... He's Pakistani, so-called consulate or ambassador, whatever he is, coming out with rubbish like that from his mouth. And there are many people like that, I tell you, who make a mockery of belief and practice. You hear it from their mouths. And the way they ask questions... I don't know whether you've experienced it, but I have. I've seen them do it. Yeah, and I'm talking about they call themselves Muslims. Yeah. So this is disbelievers, of course. Yeah, making mockery and winking at each other. Look at these misguided lot, and they were the misguided ones. Now we'll get that. So in this phase and time, as there's still the Quraysh leadership trying to be amicable. So they go, and it's mentioned, they go to Abu Talib, perhaps they go more than once, but one instance is mentioned, and it is authenticated, we can accept it as a story, of some of the leaders like Walid ibn Mughira, Abu Jahl, Utbah ibn Rabi'a, turning up to put pressure on Abu Talib. Yeah. Initially coming and he sort of saw them off. Then they come a later time because he doesn't stop Rasulullah and he's under the protection of Abu Talib. Yeah. That he's getting carried away, he's insulting our gods, insulting our religion and forefathers, etc. They're not saying what they're doing and the others are doing. See the story, when you see it, even in the hadith, you see one side of the story. He's doing this and he's doing that. Yeah, but how are you treating him as well, and those who are believing? Yeah, they don't mention that, obviously. And if he doesn't stop, then we'll be at war with you, Abu Talib. So Abu Talib is mentioned that he just speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the famous time in Sirah, it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became emotional. He says to Abu Talib that were you to put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I will not deter from this mission until Allah makes it succeed or I perish. This bit, there is nothing authentic about this statement about the sun in the right hand, the moon in the left hand. What is authentic is the part the Prophet ﷺ said, look, he's going to carry on. And he was continued to be supported by Abu Talib. Abu Talib didn't take his protection away from him. Didn't take his protection away from him while he lived. So pressure's being put on that way. And then, of course, people are still embracing Islam around them. Yeah. All that they're trying and all the business that they're doing. And one thing I want to mention before we finish, because time's getting on. So they then decide, because the season... Which year is probably around the third, fourth year we're talking about after prophethood, Nubuwa. So they decide they're not succeeding and he's still going around, you know, praying and reciting the Quran and people are hearing it and liking it. So they have a meeting at the Haram. Who? These who I call the Mustahzi'een. Mustahzi'un, as a Quranist. Those who are making mockery. They were real haters of Rasulullah. Haters of the message, and in their mockery, and they meted out terrible punishments and persecution, the Mustahzi'een. But the laugh was on the other cheek. Yeah. So amongst them, they gathered together, Walid ibn Mughira, Abu Jahl, Ubay ibn Khalf. These names are famous amongst them. Of course, Abu Sufyan, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, and Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab amongst them lot, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, but he's in this gang of group. So they say, what shall we do? Because the tribes are coming for Hajj. If he carries on like this, they're going to all start listening. Yeah. So a big discussion goes on. And some say, let's say he's a kahin, a soothsayer. So others say, well, soothsayers don't say things like he does. Let's say he's a poet. And they said, well. So all the time, Walid is leading this discussion, it seems. So he's saying, no, because his words are not like poetry. It's something beyond poetry. Yeah? Let's say he's a madman, bewitched again. But he doesn't behave like the bewitched people. He's not behaving like a madman. We're not going to get away with it. So then they say, let's say he's a sahir, a witch. Yes. A witch. But more than that, a witch who causes separation between father and children and families. Because some embrace Islam and others don't. So let's use that. So initially, Walid Ibn Muawiyah, he says, no, I can't accept any of these. Because they don't really fit. And then he thinks, and he reflects in the same meeting. And then he changes his mind. He says, well, yes, let's agree to call him a sahib. That'll keep people running away from him. They won't listen to him. That he's a witch. You know, his words are going to... So people are scared of witches, aren't they? You go back to medieval England and somebody's a witch, they're not going to come anywhere near and they're running the other direction. Yeah, so you can see. Imagine what they're thinking, you see. Witch, his words are going to be bedazzling. So don't listen, whatever you do. So they agree on that. And this time. And when they agree on that, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals about Walid in Surah 74. Some ayat to do with Walid. Walid, indicating he knew the truth. You see, indication of the truth. This is why they call kuffar, blatant. Because Allah knows they knew the truth. Now when they're debating, they know he's not any of these. From their own discussions, from their own mouths, they know he's not any of these. In other words, they know what is the truth. Yeah. That's why Allah SWT mentions. And I'll finish there. I'm not going to mention the ayah because we're running out of time. But just to finish with, to remind you that some of the opposition from these kind of people was because of wealth, position, fear of losing position, because Mecca losing 360 idols, remember I mentioned all these things to you in the past, and all the tribes coming to them, and they were the ones in the leadership, and they thought, one God will lose all these tribes, wealth will go, economy will go. So look, it's all worldly things that are blinding them to the truth of the Risala of truth. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with aqul qawli hadha wastaghfiru lakum innahu al-ghafurur rahim allahumma salli wa barik ala muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We end there. Shall we carry on with 7:30 next week? We may as well, even if I sit in the middle, it's fine. Yeah? So inshallah we'll meet next week. Inshallah, may Allah reward you for your patience, and I hope it was of benefit. Allahumma.